Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So if you've always regretted not getting Suzuki lessons as a child or not attending a Colby Long and regret not playing the violin or speaking French, my next guest says it's not too late. Gary Marcus is a professor of psychology and the director of the Center for Language and Music at NYU, but also became his own test case when he learned to play the guitar in his late 30s. He's written Guitar Zero, The New Musician and the Science of Learning, to maybe inspire the rest of us to pick up a new skill, no matter what your age. Welcome to WNYC, Gary Marcus.
Thanks very much for having me.
And listeners, we'll open this wider than just guitar. What skill are you learning later in life? Are you trying to pick up Italian to become a bond trader, or for some other reason, tennis, the cello, or are you trying to learn coding or another skill to find work in this high-tech world? Call us, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, and share your strategies and maybe get some advice from Professor Marcus. So why do we think that we have to learn these things as children? Is there a biological reality to that?
There's an old idea of critical periods, that if you learn something, you have to learn it early in life or you can't learn it at all. Language is supposed to be an example. If you don't learn language by the time you're 16, you'll never be able to do it. But that whole scientific idea has been unraveling. We now know that it's not impossible for adults to learn new things, and that the decline is gradual rather than discrete. So it's not like the minute you get to puberty, you hit a wall and things are impossible. It's more like it gets a little bit harder. If you take things slower, you can still learn.
Is learning a language different in this respect from learning a musical instrument or learning to code physiologically?
It's an interesting question. We don't fully know the answer, so we don't really completely understand the underlying neurophysiology for any of these things, for language, for music, for learning to code. But they're all skills, and the brain is able to do some skill learning late in life.
Tell us your own story. What made you start to pick up the guitar?
So I always loved music. I spent a lot of my disposable income buying CDs and fancy audio equipment and things like that, and always wished that I could play music, but thought that I had no possible chance to do it. I had taken a recorder lesson in fourth grade, and I couldn't play Mary Had a Little Lamb, and the teacher suggested that my talents lay elsewhere, and I kind of gave up. And then I was re-inspired actually by a video game, if you can believe that, by playing Guitar Hero, mm-hmm. which I did at first quite miserably, and then with the help of my wife, I got through the first level and said, hey, you know, even though I have a terrible sense of rhythm, maybe if I work with a computer, I can get a bit better at it. And I did eventually get better. I was finally able to make it through the easiest songs on the medium level. And then I said to myself, well, I don't want to get great at a plastic guitar, but maybe I can play the real thing. And that was really what inspired me, was both realizing that the critical period literature was dissolving, that maybe adults could learn new things, and realizing that if I took things slowly enough, I might have a chance.
Janet in Brooklyn, I think, is a fellow guitar late learner. Janet, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning. I decided to learn how to play guitar in my 50s, and I prayed for a guitar teacher to move next into my neighborhood, and one moved in, Mr. Cummings, Fred Cummings moved in, and he teaches me, and I'm a much better student than at 58 than I was at 13, and I practice more. No one, my mother doesn't have to tell me to go practice.
What's your favorite piece to play?
I'm learning The Entertainer.
Huh.
And it just, and I've, you
so
know,
some
learned,
ragtime on the guitar.
Yeah, I'm not very good, but I'm enjoying it. And also, I'm also learning Spanish.
Janet, thank
terrific.
You. That is really terrific. She said her parents didn't have to force her to practice. So do adults have any advantages? Again, going back to the science, are they more patient, less in need of outside encouragement, whatever you can measure?
Well, adults are both at advantage and at disadvantage. So one of the advantages is they can set their own time schedules. Disadvantages, they might have things like mortgages to pay and things like that. But if an adult's sufficiently motivated, they can really structure their lives around learning music. That's what I did. I took away the time that I was spending playing video games, for example, and said, I'm going to devote all of this to playing guitar. And adults also have a sense of the big picture. So adults know something about composition and arrangement, even just implicitly from hearing a lot of music, that little kids don't.
Vanessa in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Brian.
What are you learning?
I'm learning Spanish and French for the first time in my life.
And eventually I'm going to go into opera singing in the spring.
You mean you're going to just take opera singing lessons for the first time as a grown-up?
Well, I sang periodically throughout my life since a teenager, and I kept dropping out for long periods of time and coming back in. And then at 32, I went back into it, and then I dropped out. And now I'm 34. I'll be 35 in a few weeks.
How are the French and Spanish going?
The French is a bit challenging. Spanish, I had two sessions already, and I have very limited use of, I'm able to make some kind of conversation, very limited though.
They're similar enough to each other that you might want to just stick to one. So one of the impediments to learning anything is interference with things that you already know. So you might do better off picking one of those two and focusing on that.
Well, thanks. I just have a, you know, I found out there are years ago I learned Hebrew, and I had learned Italian many years ago, and that sometimes gets in the way sometimes. I confuse it.
Interesting that one gets in the way. You just throw them all out and learn Latin, and there you go. Thank you very much. Fabio in Montclair, you're on WNYC.
Yes, Brian, thank you. I love your show.
Thank you.
I started studying Chinese a few years ago with my two adopted children, and I probably have higher motivation. I also have a knowledge of a few languages already. And I can say that from a structural standpoint, I'm way ahead of them, although they have a much better pronunciation and memory for sound, which is to be expected.
That fits very well with the scientific literature. So the single best advantage kids have is better ears. So it's easier for a kid to pick up perfect pitch, and it's easier for them to pick up accent. Mm-hmm. But overall, things like the structure of the grammar or subtlety about idioms and things like that, adults can be better at.
Thank you for your call, Fabio. I appreciate it. How did your background in cognitive psychology help you with your quest to learn the guitar in your 30s?
Well, it laid out for me what the problems were that I had to encounter. So one example is something that's really hard about guitar is the fretboard. So on a piano, all the notes are laid out really logically. So you can, once you know how to find a C in one octave, you can easily find it in another. And on the guitar, every string has a C in a different place. And so in the way that it's hard to remember where you parked your car if you park in the same lot every day, all the strings on the fretboard confuse one another. So I did a kind of task analysis from a scientific perspective of what are the things that you need to do. And that certainly helped me get started. I'd also say that there's no magic trick. I mean, everybody, even scientists who think about this deeply, still have to practice a lot.
Gabrielle in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Gabrielle.
I'm a professional singer and an NYU alum, and I started learning guitar in May, and I also started studying ballet at 30, and just the things that I sort of came away with, that there is no replacement for practice, that you really have to put your time in, and you have to feel okay sort of looking like an idiot in the beginning, that you're going to feel sort of awkward and not do it well.
I think that's really important in what a lot of adults don't allow themselves is those first steps that are going to be really shaky. A lot of adults just give up because they're too self-conscious. And that's one of the advantages kids have is they're not so self-conscious. So if you can get over that, allow yourself those first few steps that are shaky, then eventually you can get on the right track.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
My guest is Gary Marcus, professor of psychology and the director of the Center for Language and Music at NYU, author of the book now, Guitar Zero, The New Musician and the Science of Learning, based somewhat around his own test case when he learned to play the guitar in his late 30s. To Gabrielle's call, how does quote-unquote talent fit in? She said there's no replacement for practice. Do you buy the 10,000 hours theory, you know, that it's more about practice than talent? And anybody, I'm not sure that this is what Malcolm Gladwell wrote exactly in the 10,000 hours theory, but that anybody, almost anybody, can become an expert at something if you put in 10,000 hours?
So I think that number is oversimplified. I don't think it comes from nowhere. I think if you have 10,000 hours, it's better than 5,000. But talent does exist too. So if you go back and look at the original data from Anders Ericsson that Malcolm Gladwell was drawing on, you'll see that some people that practice for 20 years aren't as good as some people that practice for 10 years. So anything that we do as human beings, there's a practice component and there's also a genetic component. And talent is really about the genes you have. So what we see from my own experience is you can have no talent, which I think it's fair to say is about the amount that I had at the beginning, and still learn to do something that you really enjoy and that really changes your life. If you want to be Jimi Hendrix, you probably have to put in the hours and be innately gifted.
Are Have they found the actual genes? I mean, is there a gene for pitch recognition or, you know, rhythm recognition or anything like that?
So most of the genes that are going to be involved in music probably aren't sort of specific to music. The way that biology works is that we have genes that have very general effects and they kind of work together in consortium. So even language, there doesn't seem to be one gene that is unique to language. There might be a gene that's unique to pitch, but mainly music is made up of a lot of different genes that go into things like emotional understanding and motor control and things like that that are generally part of the human system. And, you know, Jimi Hendrix probably had great motor control. He had great hearing and so forth. So it's a kind of conspiracy of a whole bunch of genes working together, even if there's no music gene per se.
Andrea in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hi, Andrea.
Hi. I learned to play violin beginning in my 30s. I had started guitar actually in my earlier 30s. And then I went to a summer music camp in England because I wanted to play with other people, other adults. And I met somebody from Brooklyn there, and we have now started for 5 years now, it's our fifth anniversary, the New York Late Starters String Orchestra.
Awesome.
Yeah, and we meet every Sunday for 2 hours, and it's specifically for adults who are either returning to music after raising families or who are starting to play an instrument as an adult.
What a great name, the New York Late Starters String Orchestra.
Go to Gary Marcus.
You know, it's that, and then, you know, you have to be at least 18 years old. That's our only rule.
If you visit my website, GaryMarcus.com, there's a page of stories of other adult learners. I'll put something up with your story and a link to your group.
That would be great. Thank you so much.
Adult content, you have to be 18 years or over.
That's right.
I'll accept child stories, too.
Andrea, thank you. Now, you will even be on stage tonight, Gary, I understand, with Terry Roach, Afro Jersey, and We Are the Woods for the world premiere of Guitar Zero, which happens to be the same name as the title of your book. So what is this?
It's going to be a fabulous event, one of the most exciting things that I've ever done before. Terry Roach is a brilliant musician who's been one of my teachers, and she's going to play along with me. There's a special guest. It's not Mick Jagger, I can't tell you about, but it's going to make the whole thing absolutely amazing.
And that will be for free at 7 p.m. at 19 West 4th Street, the site of the old Bottom Line. 19 West 4th Street, 7 o'clock tonight for Gary Marcus and his Guitar Zero event. He is the author of the book, Guitar Zero, The New Musician and the Science of Learning, maybe inspiring the rest of us to pick up a new skill. All right, real quick, we have like 30 seconds. One of your chapters is What Experts Know That Novices Don't. What's a good one?
A lot of it's about timing. The novice plays exactly on the beat, and the expert knows how to introduce nuance by playing a little bit ahead, a little bit behind, and so forth.
Great. Thanks for coming in. Congratulations on learning the guitar. Congratulations on the book and the cool-sounding event tonight.
Thanks so much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.